First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear on the show, Penzo Performance Line. We've been asking you guys to chime in. How would you grade the NFL's handling of the return of the season? 888-729-3776. 888-729-3776. We're going to get some expertise on this in just a few minutes. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by a great guest that can give us a little perspective on a player that was in the NFL last year. We don't know yet if he's going to be playing this year. I think these are the opportunities to really talk to people about what it's like right now with the new constraints that have been laid on everybody. So we'll get some expertise coming in just a few minutes. But we're going to start with some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it comes in the form of a little bit of NBA news. Now, if you were watching yesterday, you may have seen that the NBA announced that they've decided their regular season awards are going to be closed off based on only what has happened to this point. So the bubble will not factor in to the MVP conversation at all. It won't factor into the rookie of the year conversation at all. All of the things that happen from here moving forward won't factor in. Part of that makes sense because you can easily look at it and sort of compartmentalize the fact that, look, not every team's in the bubble, which means not every player's in the bubble. And if we're judging players across the board, how do we do it when not everybody's included in what happens moving forward? I understand that part of the logic, but I still think the NBA got this one wrong. To me, the NBA should have done the opposite. They should have finally opened up their awards to include the playoffs. I understand that there's a finals MVP, but that doesn't matter to me. To me, what we're going to see over the course of the next couple of months is really indicative of who the MVP is. I mean, a bubble is creating circumstances that no one could have anticipated in the past. A bubble is demanding things from players in focus and training that has never been demanded in the past, and it's going to demand that teams find a way to focus and come together quickly through a situation they've never had to endure in ever in the past. So when you start to look across the board, to me, right now, if we're looking for an MVP, if we're looking for a rookie of the year, if we're looking for a coach of the year, we'll get a better indication than ever of who that person actually is, not by excluding the bubble, but by in fact including the bubble and everything that's going to happen. That being said, I can't get the NBA to change their policy. So that means that we can only have the conversation about the NBA MVP, including what we've seen so far. First Take had that conversation today as Max Kellerman, Marcus Spears, and Kendrick Perkins debated who deserves to win the MVP of the NBA, knowing what we know now. Is it LeBron or Giannis?
The MVP should not be awarded in a league where more than 50%, over 50% of the teams make the playoffs. And the best team almost always wins because it's not a one and done. It's a sport where you can run your best plays through your best players in high leverage moments, right? And call that person's number. It's not like baseball where you have to wait for the guy to come up in the lineup again, or football where there's so many guys on the field. In a sport like the NBA where that's the case and you have a best of seven series throughout the playoffs, best team wins and more than 50% of the teams make the playoffs. We should always wait till the end of the playoffs to award MVP. However, that's not what we're talking about. Like, if you want to argue, well, in the end, LeBron's going to win the championship, we don't know that. But let's say that winds up happening. Come to me then and say, who was really the MVP? Well, when it mattered most, LeBron. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the regular season. So let's talk about the regular season. The Greek Freak's team has a better record. The Greek Freak has better numbers, a way higher player efficiency rating, and he's a better defensive player. And by the way, the reason I use PER, it's an imperfect stat, but instead of me hearing from people, well, here are the points, here are the rebounds, here's the assists, etc., PER takes that all into consideration. So it's a pretty good, quick little sketch of a player offensively. The Greek Freak is trouncing LeBron in PER. He is a better defensive player. His team has a better record. So he is more valuable to his team. He's a more valuable player. Regular season. You start from nothing, you have the Freak. You know, you'll get closer to being good than with just LeBron at this moment. Now, here's the final argument. Show me a team in the history of the NBA, of the modern NBA, with two top five players that wasn't one of the best teams in the conference. If you have two top five players, you're supposed to be the best team in your conference. That's what LeBron has in LA. It's him and Anthony Davis. LeBron's not having a better season than AD, by the way. They're neck and neck. You want? Yes, if I had to choose who I'd take this year, I'd take LeBron by this much. AD's had a great season. So LeBron, oh my God, it's amazing what he's doing. yeah, any one of the top MVP candidates, put him with AD, their team's going to be great. But what about his age? This is not a lifetime achievement award. It's not like LeBron's never won an MVP and we feel sorry for him. Oh, let's give him an MVP before he retires. But he'll be better in the playoffs. The playoffs haven't occurred yet. And furthermore, I keep being told, well, this is just a regular season award. The freak is the MVP of the regular season, period.
Max, listen. Okay, first of all, you got to have an open mind, right? Anthony Davis, hear this out. Anthony Davis leads the Lakers in all categories except assists when you talk about stats, right? So he could have came, he could have went in that interview and made a case for himself to be the MVP. But he did for LeBron James. You know why? Because he sees the value. He knows the value of playing with LeBron James. He sees it every night. When he's getting wide open looks, he's like, man, I've never been this wide open in my life. When he's able to post up and LeBron is putting him in great situations where he's able to play one-on-one. AD has had, in the past, he's had to carry the load offensively and defensively when he was with the Pelicans. He faced double teams. He had to really go into his bag to score. Right now, it's easy for him. That's why he's able to exert so much energy on the defensive end, because he don't have to do so much on the offensive end because of the brilliance of LeBron James. Now, here it is, Max. All that what AD said, the only thing you took from it was that he said, because LeBron is at 35 years old, he should be in the running because he's doing it for... No, you didn't even take into account that AD could have made a case for himself being the MVP candidate with leading in all stacks except assists, but he didn't, because he knows the value of LeBron James, and he's winning them every night, and he sees how much easier the game is. Now, this is two players. Now, one is on LeBron James' team, but another one in Dame Lillard that is also co-signed and said that LeBron James should be the MVP, and you still fighting it. You're going to these Wilt Chamberlain numbers that Giannis is putting up in the PER. Who is PER? Who? What's his name? Who came up with it? I don't want to hear nothing about no PER. The eye test.
You want to hear about points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals?
The eye test shows me that LeBron James is the most valuable to his team. And I told you this yesterday. Giannis is the MDP. I'm going to repeat. The MDP, the most dominant player. But he's not the most valuable player. Go ahead, Spears.
Well, to that point, no, KP and Max, I understand your argument. I understand your argument tremendously, Max, on Giannis. And really, you could just say we will dissolve the argument at the fact that he's leading in these categories and he's doing what he's doing. But I don't want to dissolve the argument there. The problem that I have with the MVP voting is this, Max. I'm going to take you all the way back to the NBA Finals between LeBron and the Golden State Warriors. Everybody in the world knows that LeBron was the most valuable player in that series, even in a losing effort. So that watered down the MVP trophy, or how they pick or determine that for me going forward. Now, here's what I will say, and this has been my argument with you about LeBron, about when we've talked about Kawhi, now that we're talking about Giannis. Who makes the game easier for the people that they're around and still performs at a high level individually? That's been LeBron James for almost the last decade. We could honestly give this dude trophy when Harden won it. We can give it to him when Russell Westbrook was averaging a triple-double. Because I look at all of the things that they were doing, and I say to myself, if LeBron wanted to echo, or if he wanted to do these things that these guys are doing, he could. His value in the NBA since he started, honestly, is his ability to make other guys look way better than they are.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Again, that's some straight talk. Straight talk wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. The most unfortunate thing that I see out of all of this, for me, when it comes to the NBA MVP is that if they had waited until the end of the bubble, until we crowned a champion, we'd have a much better indication on who that MVP actually is. I know I can't change the system. Doesn't keep me from wanting to try to anyway. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Jason Fitz, we've been asking you guys to chime in. How would you grade the NFL's handling of the return of the season? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's the way you can get in on the conversation. But one thing I like to try and do, and we like to try and do as a staff on this show, is bring you different voices that have better expertise than I could ever have because they're in the thick of it. And we're going to do that right now by heading over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined by Will Compton. You can hear him on Bussin' with the Boys, a tremendous podcast with Taylor Lewan. Will, I appreciate your time coming on. I hope you guys are safe. That's most important, obviously, first and foremost. But, you know, I think you're interesting in this case study because you just played in the NFL last year. Right now, training camp is getting ready to go forth. So how comfortable are you as a current player and a recent player, how comfortable are you with the system that's being put in place here that will allow players to return?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me on. Stoked to be here. For me, all you can really go with is the data that's been kind of set forth. I am for these protocols that are in place. It seems like the NFL and the NFLPA have worked together and put together a lot of good systems to make sure they stay on top of testing, figuring out protocols if guys were to test positive. I am optimistic. I am glass half full always. If you look at the MLB, NHL, NBA, and see all the thousands of tests they've done, and I want to say seven, as recent as yesterday, it came out to be test positive. I think everything's going to go well. In my opinion, the season will start on time. That is my opinion, and I am comfortable to go play and be part of this thing.
Well, and that's also interesting. You wrote a great blog series, by the way, that was so real and so true to your experience last year trying to find your way onto a roster, get to the right spot, and make an impact. Now we find out that rosters are going to be smaller going into the season. So for somebody like you that's that fringe guy that's trying to make your mark, how does that affect you?
It affects you, man. And it's funny you say that and bring up my blogs because I'm actually just finishing up like 10 minutes ago another one to where I'm writing to the grit and spit guys of the world, the undrafted cats, the guys who are on the fringe that are probably feeling stressed right now and kind of shedding some light on how that looks for those guys. I hate it, man. You know, I wouldn't be going into my eighth year without my first 2 years, like with a preseason, because the biggest thing, coaches will preach competition. They'll preach all this stuff all camp long, as they should. That's what it is. But coaches and everybody don't make those decisions and take those chances on you without seeing you execute it when the bullets are live and you're out there and a coach isn't holding your hand and scripting plays for you. They see you out there communicating, executing with poise and tempo, and that's how those guys kind of earn their way on, because it's one thing to do stuff in practice. You catch their eye. They look at you. They're like, hey, he's kind of doing this. Let's move him up with the twos. Let's work him a few reps in the fourth quarter. Then you take advantage of those reps in the game. You carry it over from practice to the game. You're highlighted on film. You're showing, you're using it as an example to the rest of the team. From there, you build on those opportunities. That's how ultimately those guys make the team. So the fact that they're going from 90 to 80 already blows. And also on top of no preseason, it's just a huge shot, man. Like, it's those are the guys that are going to be affected the most. I know people ultimately don't care about those guys, but for me, that's where I came from. If this would have happened to me my rookie year, I would not be on the phone with you. I would have probably worked some insurance job, and I would have been making a living somewhere else. So to me, I'm pro preseason, and I hate it for all the boys. But that's how it definitely impacts guys. That's how it impacts guys like that.
We're talking to Will Compton. Again, he's the co-host of Bussin' with the Boys, which you can check out. You can also follow him on Twitter, @_WillCompton. So, Will, you know, I'll go back to last year. You came into the Raiders team, my beloved Raiders. You made a huge impact, obviously, through the end of the season and had a good run there. Like, it was fun to watch you play. I'm questioning right now if GMs across the league, how they possibly can be aware of every Will Compton out there, because it feels like between injuries and COVID-19, GMs are going to have to be better than ever at identifying and finding talent. So when this inevitably happens, how do guys like you keep your name in front of GMs to make sure that you're on their radar?
Well, that's up to having a good agent, I suppose. I know for me personally, I'm staying in shape, I'm training. Last year, I kind of had a situation to where The Rangers were awesome enough to showcase me at the end of the year. I was able to prove that I can kind of plug and play when needed. Similar with the Saints, I was close to making that roster. I had an unfortunate low ankle sprain that ultimately led to them having to cut me and then trade for a backer. But, you know, those guys, it is. GMs and everybody else are going to have to be on top of all this stuff, have their short list close to them, because it's going to benefit those guys who are able to plug and play, because, again, there's not a lot of time to develop guys. There's not a lot of time to develop those young guys. If you're trying to win a championship this year, which I assume everybody is, you're going to keep all those veterans close to the vest, because stuff, obviously, the way 2020 has been going, is stuff's going to hit the fan. You're going to have to grab guys, because the championship teams build off depth and everything else. Like, everybody's going to have nice, lovely starting rosters. But as you know, the NFL injury rate is 100%. So it's always imperative that you have depth and you build off depth and you keep kind of shuffling those guys in and out who can plug and play.
We're talking to Will Compton on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Stick with me there for a minute when you talk about preparation, because I'm a little shook by the concept of 8 padded practices getting people ready for the season and then a limit. I mean, what, 14 padded practices during the season. So if you are fundamentally bad at certain things, like, I don't know, tackling, how real is it that you can get better at those things during the season with the limitations that there currently exist?
I mean, I think you can. I think it's possible. Again, like, I can talk from my own experience. I didn't have training camp last year. Before I got to the Saints, I didn't play a snap since December the year before, and was able to learn the playbook and kind of pride myself on the IQ side of things. And, yeah, you're definitely knocking some rust off, feeling, hitting people and things like that. And then when I was on, you know, the street, quote-unquote, the couch again all the way up until the Raiders picked me up, and then I played that same week. There's definitely some feel to it that guys will knock some rust off, but – everyone's kind of on the same playing field. I do think you can get better at those things as the season goes on. That's talking from my own experience and my own like intricate ways of working on stuff. It's definitely doable and feasible. It's just how you're going to definitely see how professional guys are, because pros got to be pros this year, because we don't have all the off season. We don't have all these things that we can go through and develop guys again. And guys are going to have to just hit the ground running, man. It's going to be interesting to see.
You can listen to Bussin' with the Boys, obviously. Tremendous podcast. It's Will Compton and Taylor Lewan. Also, not just saying this because he's on the show, check out the blogs that Will's written. It's rare to find somebody write about what it's humanly like to be in these situations from a real perspective that's honest and raw and emotional. You've done that through the process of writing about your journey over the last couple of years. Follow him on Twitter, @_WillCompton. Will, man, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate your insight, your honesty, as always, my friend. I want to see you on a roster because I love watching you play. But either way, I love watching, listening to you on Bussin' with the Boys. So it's a win for America either way, my friend. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Jason, I appreciate you, brother. I had a blast.
Will Compton out there. Like, I wanted Will on for a really specific reason, guys, because we talk so much, and he mentioned it. You can look across the board at the starters that exist for your favorite team. But if you remember, just go back a few years ago to All or Nothing, when we were watching the All or Nothing on the Cardinals at the time, and they kept talking about how one of the things that particular season that made Steve Keim great at his job as a GM is that he was finding talent. He had the names, the right guys ready to dial in at any point. That's going to be more important than ever. And there's a lot of Will Comptons. He sort of played it down. But at the end of last year, he came in and made significant plays. And you start thinking about the number of guys that will be lost in the shuffle between no preseason, limited rosters, that the GMs aren't going to get to see play. They're not going to get to see in action. They're going to have to trust that these guys are keeping themselves in shape and that they're going to be able to come in and make impact plays out of the blue. That's asking a lot. And that's why I keep looking across the board thinking, we spend so much time talking about the coach and we spend so much time talking about the GM. I wonder if in an era where fans are frankly smarter than ever about what makes a great football team, if we shouldn't be focusing this season more than ever on the competence of the front office. How good is your GM? How good is your team president? What kind of Rolodex do they have? How in sync are they to the guys that are out there on the street that they're going to need to have come in and make immediate impact? Because I'm telling you right now, the way that this season is going to play out, if it plays out, it's going to be more important than ever that depth players are able to come in and make immediate impact. And I don't think that's as easy as a lot of people think it is currently. I want you guys to keep giving me your take on how you'd grade the NFL's handling of the return of the season. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to keep taking more of your take. Plus, coming up, are the Dodgers or the Yankees the best team in Major League Baseball right now? We're on the cusp of getting some real answers as the season is about to start. So we'll get you some baseball breakdown. That's coming up next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Oh, and we're going to tell you before we do that about some straight talk. Got to give you some straight talk before we do anything else. You know what's covering your baseball. You know what covering your bases is in baseball, right? It's making sure you got no holes in your defense. That's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. I want to make sure you know this. With Straight Talk, it's genuinely the same service as all of the big carriers. When you go to the Straight Talk website, you get to decide, do you want to be on AT&T's networks? Do you want to be on Verizon's networks? You get to pick all of these huge networks, and you pay up to 50% less than the big carriers while using their same networks. It's only $45 a month that gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data than 2G. No contracts, no mystery fees, fully covering your bases for 50% less. I'm saving you money right here. It's Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We'll get to Straight Talk next on the state of Major League Baseball. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm asking you guys, how would you grade the NFL's handling of the return of the season? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Remember, there's a lot of factors here. The ramp up, the lack of padded practices, the limitations on rosters. How are they handling this entire situation? The decision now that they're going to test players every day, and after 2 weeks, if that testing rate looks like it's under 5%, then they'll go to less tests. But also importantly, as you look across, 8 padded practices, what does that mean for the future? And also the allowance of a sticker on the back of helmets that will allow players to put the initials and names of people involved in social justice that have been wronged in the process. Victims, they'll be able to have those stickers on their helmets. How would you grade? I want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Roger in San Antonio, real quick before we get to some baseball. Roger, give me your take. What's your take on this one?
Hey, brother. As far as the NFL, I want to give them an A, I guess, as far as their pandering and their marketing to a specific market base. By that, I mean this is the same NFL that not too long ago prohibited the Dallas Cowboys from wearing a sticker commemorating the 5 Dallas police officers who were killed during a protest. This is also the same NFL that, you know, regularly fines players for wearing certain things on their shoes and things like that. The NFL really wanted to make a stance. What they would do is pull somebody in like Malcolm Jenkins. I'm a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. And for what he's done within his community and social injustice in general has been outstanding. So if you were the NFL and you really wanted to do something, pull that guy in and make him the face of what you want to do, not what they're trying to do by just wearing stickers on their helmets.
Well, and you're not wrong about that. I said it earlier, I think it's a small step for most people. It's a big step, though, for the NFL because of the things you just talked about. They've been so limited in the past. I mean, at some point, it is at least it's a small step for most people, but a big step forward for the league. It can't be the only step. I think that's what most people are agreeing on at this point. Yeah, everybody's right. We're smart enough to see what it is. I mean, if there's the opportunity for them to profit from any of this or to profit even in pop culture, they're going to do it. If there's no negative takeaway, they're going to do it, you know. But through all of it, if it helps at least keep the conversation going, does the motivation matter as much as the end result? I'm not sure I know the answer to that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. More of your take. I want you guys to chime in on how you'd grade it, how you view it, and what you think about it. In the meantime, we have some breaking news out of Major League Baseball. Got to get you caught up. It looks like a deal is done. Dodgers fans were starting to panic. Right, Dodgers fans were starting to worry that they were only going to get a limited 60-game sample in their time to hang out with Mookie Betts. Well, that is not the case, y'all. We now know that Mookie Betts, it looks like, is on the cusp of signing a 13-year deal worth $380 million. 13 years, $380 million. So Mookie Betts goes from Boston to L.A., and in the process of it, there was a lot of question about the Red Sox deciding to let him walk and why they decided he wasn't worth the money, and you could break down what it meant for their future books. Well, the Dodgers looked at future money, laughed, scoffed, and then just, it looks like you're going to write a 13-year deal, $380 million. So the Dodgers continued to tell you, hey, we know we're stacked. We know we're great. Not good. Great. If you are in the rest of the NL this year, do you just look across the board and say, I get it. I get it. I mean, I, as a Raiders fan, look at the Chiefs and I'm like, you know what? I get it. Like, they're good. They're darn good. It's going to be nearly impossible to beat them. It feels like if you're a Major League Baseball fan and you're looking around right now, the Dodgers are squarely that team. Don't forget, Major League Opening Day, you can listen to on ESPN Radio Thursday night. Yankees at Nationals. Coverage starts at 6 p.m. Speaking of the Yankees, there's a question. I just said that the Dodgers are clearly the best team in Major League Baseball. I can already hear people in New York yelling at me. Max Kellerman, Marcus Spears, and Jessica Mendoza had the debate today on First Take. What's the best team in Major League Baseball? Is it the Dodgers or the Yankees?
The Dodgers, it's their time. I mean, the talent that they have, adding Mookie Betts, are you kidding me? With Cody Bellinger within that lineup, I get so excited about this team. I know the Yankees are stacked too, and I'm sure Max will let us know, but I've got the LA Dodgers all the way if we're going head-to-head LA versus New York.
Jess, how could you possibly? The Yankees just finally brought in the ace, a real ace in Cole, to go with Severino. They have guys like Montgomery, who's a winning pitcher coming back, who didn't even contribute last year. Up and down, they have power arms in the rotation, in the bullpen. They have MVP candidates no one even thinks about. Forget about Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez and Giancarlo Stanton. They have LeMahieu, who is a legit MVP candidate. Urshela, who was supposed to be a slick glove to fill in for Andujar, who's a professional hitter, one of the rookies of the year the previous season. Urshela hit 21 home runs and hit 314. Gleyber Torres, I didn't even mention, probably the best player on the team. In fact, the Yankees are more talented.
Who is Gerrit Cole joining? I mean, let's talk about their staff right now. Okay, so we got Luis Severino. Oh, wait, no, he's out for the season. Domingo Germán, he's gone. Masahiro Tanaka got nailed in the head by a line drive from, yes, Giancarlo Stanton. You think he's coming back anytime soon? He's on the injured list. DJ LeMahieu tested positive. I mean, their team is falling like bricks right now. And I look at that starting rotation. Yes, they've got star power for days. But Gerrit Cole is going to have to carry them because everyone else right now is gone.
Well, they have some 3, 4, and 5 starters that would be at least deuces on other staff still available to them. They have a deep and talented bullpen, Jessica. And as I mentioned, they have MVPs on the team that people don't even think about when they consider this team. How about the Astros, Jessica?
Jess, could you?
They lost some talent, but they're still extremely deep. They have one of those other super teams like the Astros on paper the last couple of years, even without the cheating. You go, is this the best team ever assembled? They're like one of those kind of super teams. What about them? There's been a lot made about teams going after them. I think it was overblown about getting hit with pitches in a game. They were winning sometimes with the bases loaded. But still, there's that thought teams will be looking for retribution. And the Astros seem kind of forgotten as a powerhouse. What's your feeling on them right now?
Yeah, I agree with you on the Houston Astros. I mean, I just look at their lineup, Max, and it's ridiculous. And it doesn't change. Cheating, not cheating, these boys can hit. George Springer, Alex Bregman, Carlos Correa, Michael Brantley. I mean, you just go down that entire lineup. Who's hitting 8th, 9th? Yuli Gurriel. This team is stacked, and they can rake. Yes, they lost Gerrit Cole. But they've still got Justin Verlander, who, by the way, won the Cy Young. Zach Greinke. I was watching Lance McCullers Jr. the other day with his ridiculous curveball. I mean, you remember what he did to your Yankees a few years ago in the postseason. This is still a team that when you talk about who's going to compete the most against the Yankees within the American League, I've got the Astros right at the top as their biggest competitors, as it's been the last few years. It doesn't change.
Yeah.
Jess, let me ask you this, because I know you're super hyped about this shortened season and some of the rule changes. Talk to me about this one, putting a runner on second automatically in extra innings. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, Molly, I'm pumped for this one. This was a rule we had in the Olympic Games, and you get into extra innings. And we all know, I mean, we love to see those extra inning, crazy, sure, 20-inning games. But once you get to that 10th inning, 11th inning, 12th inning, and there's just no offense, you're not scoring. We've seen what bullpens can do. Throw a runner at second base and watch just the strategy. And honestly, like, pedal to the metal team. The chance, runner in scoring position to make something happen. And even if you're a diehard and you don't like it because the tradition, just ask fans right now. Like, they want to see this game and what's going to happen. You throw a runner out there at second. I know from personal experience when we did it in the Olympics, it just all of a sudden fueled you and your heart got going because you knew something was going to happen and you had to figure out how to get that run in better than the team that was going to do it in the bottom.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, represented by Progressive Insurance. And, like, I find it interesting, if you're the Dodgers and you're turning around, remember, I just told you the breaking news. If you're just tuning in, 13 years, $380 million. That's a deal going to Mookie Betts. So if you're the Dodgers, you're not all in on just this season. But you have to look around as Dodgers fans, and we all understand the logic. The logic is World Series or bust. Nothing short of a World Series matters at this point. So when you have the most talented roster, what I can't figure out is whether the sprint aspect of the season and the marathon versus the marathon actually helps the Dodgers. I mean, so much of what we've heard is that this condensed of a schedule is going to create some difference where somebody could come in, get hot, and really disrupt things. But when you are the Dodgers, and you are clearly, in my mind, the most talented team in the NL, and I think the most talented team in all of Major League Baseball, I got to feel like the time is now. The opportunity is there, and if you're a Dodgers fan, you don't care about what gets you the World Series title as long as you get to go buy all the swag that says you finally won it all at the end of this sprint season. I find it hard at this point to bet on any team other than LA moving forward, but at least Dodgers fans can take comfort in knowing that the news of today, 13 years, $380 million, is going towards Mookie Betts. And as a result of that, they can look at it and say, hey, there is a long-term effect here, and that long-term effect is that the Dodgers may be built to be able to win it, not just this year, but for years to come. Coming up, how would you grade the NFL's handling of the return of the season? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, Houston, we didn't forget. We'll explain why we have evidence of that next. First Take, your take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the show. Penzo Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can get in on the fun. I do want to remind everybody, and we'll try and remind everybody as much as we can over the next couple of weeks. First Take, your take will come to an end at the end of July, and it's been incredible for me to spend the duration of this year. We've gone through the death of Kobe, which was incredibly emotional for me. We've gone through Super Bowl. We've gone through a pandemic. We've gone through the closure of the NBA. We've had a ride in 2020. Let's be real about it. But that ride will come to an end at the end of July. At that point, you'll still be able to hang out with me every night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'll be hanging out with Sarah Spain. Spain and Fitz will return to ESPN Radio from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. You'll be able to hear it Monday through Friday. I hope you'll consider coming out, hanging out with us, listening to us on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM. Wherever you get your ESPN, you'll be able to get to us Monday through Friday. I'm excited to get to work with Sarah again, somebody that not only I enjoy hanging out with, but that I have a lot of respect for. And I think you'll find that our show is going to be really entertaining and be different than what you hear on the rest of ESPN Radio. So excited to be back with Sarah. Bummed that I won't be with you guys on TV in the afternoon, obviously, but that's the way the business goes. And there's a positive from it. That positive is that I get to work with somebody that I absolutely love working with. So Spain and Fitz will return August 17th. That's when you'll be able to check us out Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. In the meantime, we have not forgotten about the Houston Astros. And it's important to remember that people have not forgotten. Buster only talked about it this morning on Go Look a Wingo.
It looks like they're going to play 21 of the 30 home games in Pittsburgh, which makes a lot of sense for a lot of different reasons. Obviously,
we'll cut that one off. I think we went to the wrong spot there. Buster Olney, that's my bad for queuing that up. Buster Olney talked about people not forgetting about the Astros earlier today on Go Look and Wingo.
Well, I do think that the conversation about any Astro who gets hit is going to continue. Social media is going to explode every time one of these guys gets hit. You know, I just in watching those situations yesterday, the bases were loaded on a couple of them. I don't think they were on purpose. It involved the Royals, a team not directly affected by the, you know, the Astros sign stealing in a way teams like the Yankees and Dodgers were. I don't think it's going to be as bad, guys, as it may have been if we had started on time. I think that, you know, between the pandemic and everything that's happened since then, some of that has gone away. I do expect there are going to be situations where they're playing an American League West rival and they're two outs and there's nobody on base and all of a sudden, boom, you know, on the butt, on the middle of the ribs, something like that, that's going to raise some eyebrows.
And raising eyebrows is a key part of what Buster Olney, ESPN Major League Baseball insider, just said there, because he's right. I mean, situationally, did it make a lot of sense for three members of the Astros to get hit by pitches during an exhibition game against the Royals Tuesday? No. I mean, two were done with the bases loaded, as he alluded to. But it's also going to be reaction every single time it happens. I mean, every single time you see an Astros batter hit with the pitch, what's your first thought going to be? Is your first thought going to be, I bet that he just lost control there? Or, more likely, is your first thought going to be, yep, this one's going down? I mean, I think that's going to be part of the culture, even without fans there. And I would argue that maybe Major League Baseball got a little bit of benefit here, right? Maybe there's time, maybe everybody cools off, but I don't know. I mean, you could say no fans in the stands is going to give time for the Astros to go out and let this be forgotten. It'll be so far removed by the time fans get back in the stands for next Major League Baseball season that perhaps fans will have forgotten. Everybody will be a little bit more lenient. I don't know about that. I mean, baseball fans in and of themselves are a passionate bunch of people, a group of people that are not afraid to voice their opinion, and a group of people with a great memory. I mean, you needn't do anything else other than ask a baseball fan about a stat from 10 years ago to see this. I mean, baseball fans are so ingrained in the history of their sport that they can cite different moments from the last 5, 10 years that matter to them, and they can bring it up to you like it's current, right? So you're, in my mind's eye, the opportunity for a baseball fan to forget about the Astros isn't there. They're going to be booed recklessly when fans finally get the opportunity to get into the stadium. If innovative ideas like allowing fans to boo or cheer electronically are actually explored by Major League Baseball, it's going to rear its ugly head every single time the Astros play. This conversation isn't going anywhere, and frankly, it shouldn't. They cheated, they got busted for it. But that's never going to be the end of it. That in and of itself is not enough. There will be more. There will be more price to pay. And I believe that throughout the course of the season, you'll see players and fans every single time they have the opportunity remind the Astros that nobody's forgotten. Coming up next, ESPN Radio Afternoon with Chris Carlin, Katie George. They're going to be doing a great show. They'll be joined by Julie Donaldson, Washington Football Senior VP of
Media. It's time for some straight talk. You know what covering your bases is in baseball, right?
Of course, making sure you have no holes in your defense.
Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless, and you'll pay up to 50% less than big carriers and still use their same networks. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G.
And no contract, no mystery fees. Fully covering your bases for 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Check out terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Don't miss Lowe's Just for Pros event going on now. Check out Simpson Strong Tie, new at Lowe's. Also get big savings on other brands you trust, like Metabo HPT. Powerful brands, new services, and pro-grade deals, all at Lowe's Just for Pros event, now through July 24th. See why we're the new home for pros. Get your choice of a Metabo HPT 18-volt brushless cordless impact driver kit or hammer drill kit for $159, was $239. Kit includes two batteries. Valid through 7/24, selection varies by location.
Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
You know, after days and days and days of hearing a lot of uncertainty about whether or not this season will start, yesterday I really felt like the winds had changed a little bit. People that I talked to were talking about, you know what? I think we're going to get there. I think we actually are going to get started up next week.
Baseball Tonight. Subscribe now on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
This just became official, and I have a release here that came out 2 minutes ago. Today we are announcing we will be retiring the Redskins' name and logo.
Impactful stories from the world of sports.
I said last week, if the name change happened to me, it would be the sign that we are in the greatest time of cultural change we've seen, I think, in my lifetime.
Sports, life, and the biggest names in the game.
I don't see it happening. I think that they've got too much work to get done and through. There are too many uncertainties and too many major issues to think that everything's just going to go off without a hitch.
From Golic and Wingo in the morning and continuing all day.
Logistically speaking, I think it's going to be extremely difficult unless you are totally rewriting how football is done. But then even if you manage that, they're college students.
To be able to do what they've been doing these last few months, it is clearly advantage pitcher.
This is ESPN Radio.
I'm Pablo Torre, host of the podcast ESPN Daily. Every weekday morning, I will bring you the best sports story you'll hear all day. Today on ESPN Daily, the WNBA tips off its shortened season this Saturday in Bradenton, Florida. So ESPN's LaChyna Robinson gives us the inside scoop on the women's bubble and also how much hype is justified for number one overall pick Sabrina Ionescu in her incredibly hyped rookie season. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Andre is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Andre.
Let me tell you a little story that happened to me Friday. I called a company down in Cordell, Georgia named Diamond Turf to order some soy. So I spoke to the owners, Joseph and Monty Hohen. So as I was ordering my soy from Diamond Turf, Mr. Hohen asked me, he said, "Are you Andre from the Paul Fireball show?"
That's amazing.
And he said, "Man, I love Paul Fireball. I listen to him every day." And I said, "Well, I am Andre. I wanted to share that with the Fireball Nation. But thanks for taking my call, Coach."
You made my day, Andre. Thank you so much. That is fantastic.
The Paul Thumb Show, weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and on the SEC Network.
Wes, it's starting to feel like a routine, man. I'm kind of liking this.
It's go time.
Packer and Durham bring you a daily rundown of all the happenings in the ACC.
I spoke for all 100 guys on our team, all our backgrounds put together.
And special guests from all over the sports world.
To have the longest win streak in Division I sports, that's pretty special, I think.
You guys got
to
have me on more often, man. You got to start coming together.
Packer and Durham.
We really have a loaded show.
Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ACCN and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Give us Major League Baseball. Give us the first pitch and the best sluggers in the game. Give us a season where anything is possible.
Oh, man alive.
To deep central.
The baseball gods do not lie.
Give us opening night. Yankees Nationals at 7 Eastern, then Giants Dodgers at 10. Thursday on ESPN. Telecast presented by John Deere.
Golic and Wingo.
You're talking about one baseball team of 30 that resides north of the border in that country, and you would be asking them, risk it for the one baseball team that you guys support in a league that's largely south of your border on that one. Like, from a practical sense, if I'm Canada and trying to, like everyone else, mitigate risk,
yeah,
the last thing I'm going to do is open my border for, again, a sport where we are represented by all of, let me check notes, one team.
Golic and Wingo, weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
An opening day unlike any in the history of Major League Baseball.
I think that players want to get back and play.
Here's Judge swinging way out of here.
Two teams that come into this year with high expectations. The Yankees, the best team on paper that we've seen in maybe 20 years. The Nationals, the defending champions. Garrett Cole versus Max Scherzer.
The New York Yankees and the Washington Nationals. Tomorrow at 6 Eastern on ESPN and on ESPN Radio.